This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's Hour 1, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's a Football Friday. It's a What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday. And thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, set to go 5 hours flawless once again. Zach Wolchuk's in the house. Eric Chiafalo had morning show duty. He was with the Sean and RJ crew up there at the Denton Firehouse having themselves a time.
Quite the party out there in Denton. Tolos definitely showed out.
Yes, sir. And thanks to everybody for doing that and picking up your Whataburger 2024 G-Bag Nation flag. We have a couple of remotes next week, and we're excited to get out there with you and hand you off some flags. How you doing on this Friday? And congrats to you, Wolchuk, for being correct last night. You know, he has correctly predicted the game, Brian.
I kind of heard that we were, I don't think he was on that text, was he?
The bye week text.
Yeah.
Yeah. We decided that since the Cowboys were on the bye that we weren't going to do Survivor this week.
Not
so
for this
congratulations on a meaningless win, Wolchuk.
Yeah. Let's go.
You did it.
I hope. Either way.
You did get football guy of the day.
Stress free.
Yeah, we gave you football guy of the day.
Football guy of the day.
But you weren't on that. His number wasn't on that text.
I don't know how that happened. You know,
it's
but
like I'm not even a member of the show.
Chief was cool with it. Spittle, we even got Lucius's opinion on it. We overlooked it.
Cowards.
Bunch of cowards.
I got some hard-boiled eggs over there, Brian.
Hey, you know, it only made sense, though, Wolchuk. I mean, you got to see it our way.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, we've had so many payoffs already, and it's a Cowboys bye week. It was a natural break, so I'm sure you understand.
I guess mine carries over to next week then, I suppose. That's fine with me.
I think a buy's a buy.
No, you guys missed the text where I already agreed with Eric and Lucius and Spittle and Tim Collins that, yes, it's okay. Broncos count then, since I already put my balls on the table, boys.
I don't know how you could get credit for a Week 8 Survivor pick when you made a Week 7 play, but we'll have to see what Chief says when he gets back.
That's
on
Monday. That's how this goes.
We'll have to ask a neutral arbiter.
Eric already texted me his Survivor pick of the week.
Did he? I think he was waiting for us to tell you.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that you guys have been found to be ball sacking, but that's okay. That's okay.
Are the Lions ball sacking you here? We have audio. Well, we would have audio. We have a quote from Kirby Joseph on the Amon-Ra St. Brown podcast. did you by chance pull this?
We've got it. We do have the sound. I'll definitely play it for NFL News of the Day. If you want to read it for now, go for it. Otherwise, I mean, we can tee it up if you need to.
Yeah. Let me know, Lucius. We good to go on that? Okay, so this is Kirby Joseph, Lions defensive back, on the Lions defensive game plan in the 47-9 victory over the Cowboys. We'll get to that. I think it really boils down to a discussion about what your draft priorities are going to look like, you know, and how pressing of a need is it to, you know, improve your skill spots. How much is that the problem? You know, I think we remember 2018 when the Cowboys had the Allen Hurns, Cole Beasley year, and they were like, hey, we're going to need Amari Cooper. And that significantly changed your outlook for the second half of the season. You know, are we letting the Cowboys front office off the hook and them saying we're not going to make trades? Do they need to upgrade these weapons to that extent? And we'll get that audio here coming up in just a second. Here we go. We have Kirby Joseph there with the Amon-Ra St. Brown podcast.
Hey, Kirby, tell me about the defense. Like, what was the game plan? Y'all was strapping them boys.
Bro, the game plan really... it was really just like, you know, just take 88 away. Like, we know he's a playmaker. So, like, once we take him out the game, like, we wasn't really worried about nobody else.
BB baited the hell out of Dak on that corner in the red zone.
Oh yeah, God. I'm glad he did too, cause boy, I'm so glad he did, man. But that's what I'm saying about BB. Like, he's just a different type of player, bro. Like, ain't never seen nothing like it.
Right, yeah. You two right there are OD. What's with the pick you had in the red zone? Cause at that time, bro, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't even paying attention really to the game. We were all on the sideline. It was over. But I just see, damn, we got another pick, another turnover. Hey, Curb. Tell me about the defense. Like,
okay, there we go. Yeah. There, you got a couple of things in there. I'm not too worried about a defensive back baiting Dak Prescott. I think if you find yourselves in the red zone, if you find yourselves in high pressure, you have to throw situations. Dak turnovers are going to happen. We know that. That's not news. But, you know, the simplified game plan, I think that explains a lot. It's probably impressive that CeeDee Lamb is producing as much as he has been able to produce so far with the amount of attention that opposing defenses are giving. What do you have to say about that, Brian? You've been watching all the tape.
Yeah, you know, the thing, those red zone turnovers really do bother me. I think the play, I don't know if it was baiting. I think Brian Branch is just a really good player, you know. And I think that, you know, to me, that's the unfortunate thing that when you, I bet, like I told you guys last week, I bet you they practice that play over and over and over again, the Cowboys. And every single time it was the corner jumping the crossing route. And that's the thing that disappoints me, that some of these things probably could be avoided. Yeah. Some of these turnovers could probably be avoided, you know, with some of the things. If you're, you know, you're trying to create, you know, optics to defenders, and it's just not working. And that's the thing that bothers me.
You're going to have to create different plays, though, right?
I mean, to me, that's it's troubling that they're going to sit there and think that just a fake screen action is going to pull a guy like Brian Branch out of position like that, you know? And I don't know. It's just that's the thing that when you start to talk about this team and the problems and the quarterback and all these things and the play caller, it's just, because like you mentioned, I watch a ton of tape. I just watch all these other offenses play. And it just seems so natural, so easy. And for us, it's such a struggle.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's the talent of the playmakers. You know,
that could very well be it.
Talented defensive guys, they can read them like a book. Well, they see them out there struggling with their inexperience and lack of talent. They don't respect it. They can cheat off of it. Yeah. They got it on easy mode here. And I think that's, you know, what I wanted to at least talk about is the priority for making it an off-season point of emphasis, but also how much could you fix this team right now if you really wanted to, just by improving your other wide receiver spots?
Yeah, if there was a receiver to go get that's got control past just this year, it's not somebody that's a rental for a few months, I'm definitely open to doing that. Now, I don't believe this team is a contender, so I don't want to spend any massive assets unless it is for a receiver that I'm going to have for a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. But I'm all for improving this team. If there's a guy out there that you think can come in and help, defensive line, tight end, wide receiver, running back, like, I'll give up some draft capital to go and do that, right? But the thing to me is, it can't just be a guy that's on an expiring contract and that's why you're able to get him for a 5, 6, or 7, right? That's got to have to be a guy that this is now filling a hole for me now that I'm not having to fill in the offseason. I'm now going ahead and getting ahead of this thing. I think that'd be the important thing, because I get, like, if Eric's talked about, no, like, a running back's not coming in and saving the day. I don't think a wide receiver's coming in and saving the day. But what it can be,
one of each might.
Maybe, but what it can do now is also, that's one less problem I've got to solve this offseason.
Yeah.
When I really am going to have to make this team a contender or build them better. Because I don't think there's enough to fix the problems that you currently have right now.
I don't know if Dawson, if they could use somebody, if they would use somebody the right way that they traded for.
Yeah.
That's the problem I
at
have.
At receiver, I feel the exact same way.
If you're
going to have to get dominant offensive line play
or running back or something like that. I don't know if necessarily will the scheme allow somebody coming from another organization to thrive that needs to thrive. And I just don't see that happening.
Well, I do see a lot of football happening on The Fan this weekend. Tonight, Oklahoma State and BYU at 8:30. That game is it Provo? Is that where that
believe
is?
So, yeah.
Saturday night, number 8 LSU at Arkansas. That'll be a big one in Brian's life.
Yeah,
he'll be locked in.
That will be a huge game. I mean, LSU found a way to beat Ole Miss last week, finally playing some defense. Playing in Fayetteville has been, or Little Rock, it doesn't matter, has been kind of a house of horrors for LSU. Mm. Some really good teams have gone there and not survived that. Arkansas played really well against Tennessee last time out, so sure did. Kind of worried about that.
We have a Sunday NFL doubleheader with no Cowboys pre- and post-game show to get into. We're going to roll all the play-by-play for you. Texans at Packers, followed by Raiders at Rams. That'll be a Sunday to remember here on 105 Through the Fan. Hope you enjoy the bye week and, you know, make the most of it. Cowboys are 7-point dogs against the Niners when they get back after it. Seems like that's a gift from the Vegas odds makers. If this Cowboy season isn't going to give us any fulfillment and excitement or satisfaction, at least we can make a big old fat bag off betting on the Niners -7, I feel like, Wolchuk.
I'm with you, man. I mean, the last two times you've played them, it's been really ugly. And, hey, the Cowboys are 3-0 on the road. Like, you want to talk some positives, they're a better team on the road. I mean, that game against Pittsburgh, but that's a different beast you're playing there with San Francisco. And I think that they might be opening up some rumors out there, the 21-day practice window for Christian McCaffrey. Jeez. I don't think he's going to play against the Cowboys. He's eyeing a Week 10 return. But, they seem to kind of be getting healthy at the right time. We'll see what happens against Kansas City. But that's just a tough matchup. And the Cowboys' defense is not what it was when they were at least keeping them competitive in those games in the postseason, in the wild card and divisional round. So I could see that getting out of hand pretty quick.
Well, you likely get Bland back, Carson back, Parsons back. So those are three guys that surely will help the situation for the defense, though. But can you do enough to help the offense, though?
Yeah, are you still prohibited from talking about the lines because you work on the .com?
No.
No, you can talk lines now because the NFL is kind of snuggled up to it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
They've snuggled.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I just can't bet on the game.
You just can't actually bet yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're going to talk with Chip Brown coming up at 3:20 about the Longhorns in Georgia. Of course, Bulldogs on the longest active streak as a betting favorite of the nation, 49-game run that is going to end Saturday against top-ranked Texas. Longhorns consensus 5-point favorites. I did see it sneak down to 4.5, at least on the lines that ESPN has next to their scores and whatnot. Line opened at 3.5. A flurry of bets of the Longhorns, multiple sports books on Wednesday, causing the spread to move as high as 5.5. Before 5 and now back to 4.5. I think we were talking with Danny Cannell yesterday, and he was, you know, saying that people are seeing that there was value for betting Georgia there at 5 and 5.5. Texas remains a popular bet at sportsbooks entering the weekend, though at BetMGM, more bets had been placed and more money wagered on Texas minus the points than any other team on the board. It's the most popular play of the weekend there, betting on the Longhorns. Can't imagine what it must be like down in Austin. Just intoxicating after such a decade of dismay, really, is what that was. After Colt McCoy was laying on that field against Nebraska from that point forward, it's been bad, and now they're back. So that must be quite exciting here on a football Friday afternoon in Austin, getting ready for College game day and everybody coming in. So hope you have fun. If you're heading down there, be safe and everything. We'll talk to you Monday. Okay, do you guys believe the Longhorns should be this big a betting favorite, though, Brian? You're always watching the SEC games. What do you think?
I'll tell you what, though. Georgia's a very, very talented team, and, you know, their secondary is something you're going to have to deal with there. Beck, the quarterback, at times has looked outstanding. There's people that believe that he might be the first or second quarterback off the board. You know, Texas has done a great job defensively. It's funny how with Ewers start slow in some of these games. And I don't know, I mean, can you start slow in this one?
You can't, because I think on the other side, Carson Beck can do a similar thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for Texas. You've got to jump out in front because Georgia's shown the ability, no matter what the deficit, they proved it against Alabama. Carson Beck can get hot in a hurry.
Right.
And that secondary is what I'm nervous about. If you're a Texas fan, I think Carson Beck has the ability to kind of pick apart that secondary like you saw Michael Penix Jr. do in the Sugar Bowl. Again, this is probably the best quarterback they've faced so far.
Indeed. Okay. Stars undefeated season has come to an end a little earlier than we'd all hoped, but still pretty dang impressive.
All Heggie's fault there.
3-2, they dropped to the Capitals. Our friend Leah Asimakopoulos, so the morning news, was reporting from practice here this afternoon, and she said on X, I don't see Tyler Seguin, Matt Dumba, or Sam Steele at Stars practice today. Everyone else is accounted for. Apparently these gentlemen have either lower or upper body discomfort, Brian.
They have some type of injury.
That's right.
Yes.
So we have three guests coming up on the show today. Not only Chip Brown at 3:20, we have Isaiah Standback, the former Washington Husky, the former Dallas Cowboy, now the media member. You saw him this week on the NFL Network's Good Morning Football. You also see him DallasCowboys.com. Isaiah Standback's going to join us at 5 o'clock here on 105 Through the Fan. And at 4 o'clock, Jarrett Bell, USA Today, NFL reporter. Police have issued an arrest warrant for the Ravens fan who went viral for attacking two Commanders.
I've seen his face on Twitter a bunch today.
Yeah. They're looking for him. 24-year-old John Callis of Baltimore.
Yeah.
First degree aggravated assault and second degree assault. Tuned those guys up pretty good there. Okay. I don't think that was mutual combat. All right. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. G-Bag Survivor plus three things we've learned about the Cowboys in the first six games. That's coming up next right here. G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Everything's going pretty good here on a Football Friday. Of course, we got to pick some games. Woolchuck's already on the board with a dub, a Week 7 dub last night. He picked Denver over the Saints, and the Saints were terrible, as he knew they would be. Spencer Rattler threw for 172 yards, but he was sacked six times and fumbled twice.
Tyrann Mathieu in this game, I mean, literally nicks threw the ball right between the three and the two, and he dropped it. I guarantee if that was Dak Prescott throwing the ball, it would have been a 57-yard interception return.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it just, it's amazing how the NFL season works and when you play certain teams and how it can work for you and work against you.
Yeah, that team hadn't won a game since the Cowboys.
And this is a team you absolutely want to play against right now, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, they're fifth straight defeat now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So since beating the Cowboys. Javonte Williams ran for two touchdowns. Bo Nix passed for a 164, ran for 75 as he won the battle of the two rookie quarterbacks, became the rare rookie to win on Thursday Night Football. Looking at the scores here for this week, I think there's only a couple of really great opportunities, you know, looking at the schedule anyway. The Commanders, a 9.5-point home favorite against Carolina. I'm eyeballing that one, Brian. And then I think you got to look at the Bills hosting the Titans as well.
Yeah, I went ahead and took the Buffalo Bills. I think Chief also took the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Eric did. He texted me and said, hey, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, like the Buffalo Bills.
And at home against the Titans, that just seems juicy. And I bet Amari Cooper, who is going to play, what are the odds? Like, Amari's going to catch a touchdown in this game. It just seems like that's the new Devontae Adams probably too. You know, your first game with a new team, they're going to feature you a little bit. They're probably going to have awesome games.
Yeah, I mean, both those games, I think, terrific opportunities. I look forward to riding Jaden Daniels to victory.
Yeah,
I still do have that bet payoff that I got to, you know, come through on. Haven't selected anything, but I needed a break. Okay, I needed a mental health break. Don't look at me like that, guys. Crying out loud.
A little bit disappointed.
Okay. Understandably so.
You know
Chuck.
What?
Damn it. After that joke you tried to play on me, guys.
I know we all need to think about our mental health and all that. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Brian, for understanding.
I don't understand. I really don't.
Wow.
I really don't.
That's very insensitive of you.
It is. You know, anybody else that needs a mental health break. I'm all for you. I'm not for it right now.
Well, wow. I feel like you've had plenty of those.
Yeah, I guess I got to take a trip downstairs to HR. Jeez. You know?
Oh, please.
Thanks for telling me how you really feel.
With people, like, just take a number with me. I mean, like people are lining up there right now.
You know? You got your own file cabinet down there.
Yeah, they've got a folder on me and everything. Yeah.
This is the broadest room.
Yeah. Okay. You walk in, they would go, oh, broadest again, right? And I'm like, you'd go, oh, how'd you know?
Number 68.
Yeah. And you'd sit over there next to everybody else in the other chairs.
We have G-Bag of the Day coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. Let's take a look at what we have learned about the Cowboys during the first six games. We go over here to Blogging the Boys, and they have a story up here. Number one, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb need to get on the same page. Is this story overrated, you think, a little bit? Like, if you look at CeeDee Lamb's stats, he might not be absolutely dominant, but it's not horrible, right? I'd say CeeDee Lamb's doing his part. I think what we're seeing is nobody else on the field is a credible threat. You know, Michael Gallup, I think, still had a reputation. Brandon Cooks was better last year. And it wasn't until Brandon Cooks actually produced in the second half of the season that CeeDee Lamb really took off. They need other players to demand respect from the defense, I think, more than like Dak and CeeDee need to get on the same page. Or they need a coaching staff that's more capable of, you know, scheming guys open. I don't think they have the horses to execute the vision right now. And the lower your talent gets, the better the coaching needs to be. And I don't think Mike McCarthy or Brian Schottenheimer are going to reinvent anything.
No, you need somebody to help force double coverage away from CeeDee Lamb, because teams are doing that very successfully. Right now, he's clearly the priority. We played the audio of Kirby Joseph talking about that. That's been consistent every single week when you watch him play. But I did think it was interesting. DallasCowboys.com put out after six games this year, CeeDee's got 32 catches, 467 yards, two touchdowns. Six-game mark last year, 34 catches, two more, 475 yards, and one touchdown. Almost identical numbers. So I do think it's an overreaction. I think that Dak and CeeDee are too good. They will get this figured out. But I do think it is they need to look at somebody else to step up. Like, I thought Jalen Tolbert after the Pittsburgh game, okay, now this is a confidence builder. Can you stack up good performances so now teams are looking at you as actually the credible threat you're talking about as a wide receiver too? Unfortunately, that did not happen against Detroit. So coming out of the bye, you either need to become more creative in getting CeeDee on the move, trying to get him into favorable matchups away from the double coverage, or you need somebody else to step up, whether that's Tolbert, whether that is maybe Cooks coming back healthy, Jake Ferguson maybe trying to become that player he was towards the back half of last season. But I do think overall the Dak CeeDee stuff will get itself figured out. I'm not worried about that long term.
Maybe could use another touchdown or so, two touchdowns. But I think things are going better than disastrous. Like, you know, this
I just
is,
think it looks bad at times, those interceptions.
The turnovers, especially in the red zone, make it seem like it's a compounded issue.
It just seems like and then he runs the vertical route and Dak throws the out.
There have been incidents that have sort of magnified it.
You're kind of like, well, okay, what happened there? And then the interceptions in the red zone, you're like, what happened there?
Yeah.
You know, there's every one of these turnovers or misconnections. You know, I wanted to believe that, hey, there's two veteran guys, they'll figure it out kind of a thing. This training camp thing might be legit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to believe it. I really didn't. I wanted to say, this CeeDee Lamb, he's fine. He's a veteran guy. Dak, veteran guy. But, man, they're acting like these two have never played together. In some of these throws.
And what is it? Year four for CeeDee? Year five? You know, it's not like he's a decade-long veteran that knows everything that we're going to need to do. And I would imagine it's an evolving offense. So Dak and CeeDee need to getting on the same page. What was the stat I had? Oh, yeah. He's only caught four of his 16 second-half targets. That sucks. You know, the game is in the balance.
He's had a real problem when they've played off coverage against him.
Hmm.
People that play man against him, his numbers, as you mentioned, are just fine. Hmm. It's when people play off or play zone against him, and maybe that's when he's seeing more double coverage, some of the bracket stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, the route that I talked about where he went vertical, they had a safety sitting in the over the top, and then the corner underneath, and Dak read it as, well, bro, I'm not going to throw you into that safety. I'm going to throw you into the out. And CeeDee just continued to run the vertical route. So Yeah, they've had some problems connecting with this off coverage stuff.
Okay, the other two things in this story, things we've learned about the Cowboys, both lines of scrimmage have to improve immediately, no doubt, and Cowboys have to find a way to fix their penalty issues, no doubt about that as well. And we all hope for the best in the post-bye week portion of this schedule, but I think it's going to take an improvement in off seasons. This is a big personnel, I think, crisis for the Cowboys, as you look at both lines of scrimmage right now, tough to win like this. It's time now for that G-Bag of the Day into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Hey, hey, man, shout out to Big Broadus in the building, for he is a jolly good fellow.
Yes, sir, he is.
For he is a jolly good fellow. Those corn dog chili dogs, chef's kiss, sir.
Appreciate that, man.
Glad shout out to you, though, Lucius, for refreshing him on that idea. I didn't make it to try these the first time around. That was absolutely delightful.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Thank you,
man.
Appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you.
Y'all need an Orange Magic, a corn dog chili truck, food truck.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Right. Yeah, Jerry has his way. Yeah, we'll be
the
on it.
The spicy chili.
We'll be on it this week.
Which is special.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, man.
That sweet.
I like how he made it. He makes a stripe of the chili next to the dog, almost like it's relish.
Yeah.
You know? So it's easier to contain without a fork. Yeah. I'm eating this with a hand. I'm like, I've never had a chili dog like this, Brian. Salute to you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Glad you guys enjoyed it.
Nah, I did. All right. In the diss track world, this would be it. You got 1 week to respond. Cowboys, you had a diss track that was floating out there all week on you. It didn't respond. I even checked your social medias. You were doing like Meek Mills. You were tweeting through it instead of going in the studio and rapping. You were tweeting through it. But I see you had Jerry out here lashing out on folks like he Shug Knight.
Yeah.
So maybe, what, they play good against San Francisco? You kind of forgive them? Is that their shot back at the diss track if they play good against San Francisco?
Yeah. Shoot, that would be a good answer back.
San Francisco?
I'm thinking Super Bowl again, baby.
Okay. All right, I'll let this go.
Man, here we go again. This team ain't gonna never win. I'm ashamed to be a fan. Got me lying to my friends. Louis Belt straight to ass. That cannot complete a pass. CeeDee Lamb been playing trash. Man, how long is this gonna last? Damn. Get it, Jerry. Yeah. Quit it, Jerry. Yeah. Retire Jerry, we gotta fire Jerry. Boy, you know this team super bad. I ain't lying. Every week we taking belt to ass. That cannot complete a simple pass. What he trying to? Man, how long is this bitch gonna last? Who you throwing? Took a 40 ball, beating two times is like a sequence.
Wow.
Dak, who you throwing to? He threw it to the defense. I'm like, Dak, who you throwing it to? He threw it to the ops. I'm like, Dak, you gotta stop. Dak, go to the barber shop. Get that hairline fixed. And maybe you'll stop throwing picks. And maybe CeeDee Lamb will stop being the diva and he'll stop throwing fits. And maybe Mike McCarthy will be on the sideline wearing some clothes that fit. And maybe Jerry Jones nice might retire, Brian, because he owed it.
Yes, sir.
Tell you what, I'm starting to learn the words.
Is he looking for five right here?
That's it.
Nice.
I think this might be four.
Is this four?
Four.
I think it is four.
Because I think I played it on Tuesdays.
If you want to five it, we can five it.
Oh.
Look at this guy changing the poles around. Look at that.
A whole lot of people changing poles around here.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's see what I got for you, man. Hey, Yankees and Guardians.
Yeah.
Yankees and Guardians?
Yes.
Drama.
It was drama. Okay. I got the Spanish call. What is his name? John Kinsey? John Kinsey Noel?
Thank you, Nate.
Christmas.
It is John.
John. Yeah. John Kinsey Noel. Am I saying it?
No, you are saying it right. I think you nailed it.
All right. Well, hey, look at that.
We just went south of the border there for a second.
Hey, pause.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! John Kelsey Noel! Acaba de empatar en el puerto la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
Se puso la Navidad y no ha nevado todavía. Lo que cayó fue la explosión que le dijo a ustedes si se pasaba Nate Thomas, algo iba a pasar. La puso chiquitita. John Kelsey Noel.
Do they got two different guys in there doing the call?
There's
two cats in there.
Two guy call.
Tag team play-by-play.
Super excited.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
One out away, and then boom, here we go. Extra innings. We made it happen.
Did you watch the Mets game?
saw the Ohtani homer and the Mookie Betts homer, and then switched over to Thursday night.
It's blowout. New York fans are different, man. Shout out to Mets fans. They're very different. My family's some Mets fans, some weirdos in New York up there. Wearing a whole lot of, they dress like Spike Lee at the game. Crazy. Anyway.
Bronx.
Here they are. Yeah. In Brooklyn and all. I mean, Queens.
Queens.
Here's a guy encouraging the Mets during a blowout.
The first World Series game.
Well done.
The first World Series
game. I had this one right here sitting in the folder all week. It's Bubba Dub, our guy Bubba Dub in the building. He's pretty upset about Dak and the Cowboys and that blowout loss.
Last week, all we heard was Dallas Cowboys had a good week of practice. Well, them motherfuckers lied to me.
And you lied to me.
47-9 in your own home?
40 years.
You let a stranger come get in the bed with your woman. That's what the Cowboys did today. That's what happened today. Dak Prescott, first quarter, marched him down the field. Get into the red zone. I think we was on like on the 8-yard line. I'm thinking we finna score. Never. Interception. Every time I get ready to go live or talk my trash or whatever, Dak, you always f*** it up. Why you keep playing with my emotions, Dak? $260 million motherf***ing man, and you play like the quarterback on that movie Replacement.
The Replacement quarterbacks is pretty good.
Quarterback of the movie Replacement. 40 years.
Flash.
My thoughts exactly, sir.
Yeah, I feel them.
Flash.
Ella, is that link sent into? I don't know, man. I'll see in a second. Hey, Cam Newton is on ESPN. Y'all seen that lately? Cam Newton is now on ESPN.
I have not watched
it. With his hair popping out the top of the hat.
Yeah.
But the outfits are crazy.
So ridiculous. Oh, my God. Speaking of those outfits, where is Fonzworth J. Bentley?
Yeah.
Where are you, Jay? Your man is in trouble. He needs you. Cam Newton, he thinks the Cowboys need more dogs.
Oh, okay.
They got this fool barking on television. Like, he's trying to, you know, get the Q rating up. You know what I mean?
Full James?
I just got here. I got to do something to make them say, hey, Cam is going viral.
That's what we need in Dallas.
Right.
Some dogs. Some dogs.
Ouch.
I don't see one of them.
Sounded like Martin Lawrence.
Listen. We need some dogs.
Jeez. Jeez.
That's pretty good.
I wonder if he had to audition that.
Jeez.
Like, you can have the job if you bark.
I do like how he takes the fedora. It cuts the center out.
It got a damn hole in the top of your hat. Let your hair out, bro.
My man will wear like the butler clothes. He's got the collars with the bow tie.
Yeah. I'm so sick of them big ass bow ties. And the hats. I'm so sick of it. Looks like the Joker.
What did he do? Yeah. He had like a hockey.
The Riddler.
He had a hockey sweater on the other day with his bow tie on.
Like pink.
But the hat and he's got the Curious George dude's hat.
It's ridiculous.
The middle cut out of it.
Yeah, he got that Arby's hat on, and the top is cut out, and he's got all his locks falling out of it. Man, get that S together, bro.
Sure, I'll go bark on TV.
Yeah. Where that check at?
Where's that check?
Where that check at?
Sponsor me by Purina if you want. I'll bark all day.
Is it our three-time champ looking for four?
How are you going to tell somebody some dogs and he didn't dive in the Super Bowl to get that ball?
Hey.
How are you going to call somebody a dog?
That's a good point.
Lucius.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Me too.
Yankees and Guardians.
Lucius had money.
Jean Kinsey Noel.
Cam dresses like a villain, yes, in a Batman film.
I like everything except the yellow tint on the glasses. You know?
Camler.
Yeah, he just needs some old school, like, you know, there's just too much happening.
There's just way too much going on, bro. You got to simplify that real fast.
Yeah, he needs a stylist.
Division.
Or he needs to change stylist, one of the two.
Man, it's a big man with some flair.
Yeah.
Guy encouraging Mets during a blowout. Bubba Dub upset about Dak and the loss. Cam Newton barking on television. I'm going to go with the Spanish play-by-play of Yankees and Guardians there, Lucius. How about you?
Oh, I'm singing for the song.
The diss track toward the Cowboys.
Wolchuk.
Diss track.
Brian.
Bubba Dub.
By a score of 2-1-1. Still your G-Bag of the Day champion. Tune in Monday at 2:30. See if they can make it 5 in pursuit of mortality and greatness. If you ever miss the G-Bag of the Day, you can always tune in for LA Live weeknights at 5:40. He replays the G-Bag of the Day. The Nation 2-7 here on The Fan. Okay, speaking of getting victories, it's time, Wolchuk, for Chiafalo's Friday staple here at 2:40,
right? Let's
do it.
Let's do some biggest L, biggest dub. Where have you taken some victories this week? Where have you taken some L's along the way? 877-881-1053. DUIs, cheap beers, and the Masters menu. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. NFL news today coming up at 3. Then at 3:20, we're going to talk to Chip Brown, the longtime Longhorns reporter and insider, about what's going on in Austin this afternoon, anticipating Utah and Georgia tomorrow evening. Here's Wolchuk with a biggest L and a biggest dub.
Yes, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some personal victories, maybe some L's along the way? Because it's time for biggest L, biggest dub. Take it away, British Ian. Big dub, Dak Prescott. He posted a photo announcing the engagement to his soon-to-be bride-to-be, Sarah Jane Ramos, along with their daughter, MJ.
Congrats.
Yeah, big-time congratulations to Dak. He's on the bye week, going a little family vacation, get the engagement out of the way. Maybe this was done a long time ago, and they just now decided to post it. But either way, congrats to Dak as he continues to grow his family.
Is there somebody on the team that should try and talk him out of it as a true friend?
I'm sure you always need that person. You were doing that for me.
Yeah. But if you say, hey, thanks for doing it,
yeah,
I did my job. But you're making your own decision.
You've always got to have that one friend. Even if the friend's like, hey, I think you guys are great together.
Yeah.
I just have to do my due diligence and just like, are you sure? You know, are you sure?
Are you sure about this? Yeah. Are you sure? You know,
offered to fly us to Vegas and everything. You were like, dude, just get away.
I tried to get you and I to go to Arizona.
That would have been incredible.
Who on the team would go up to Dak and tell him, man, are you really going to do this? Who would that guy be? You think?
Zeke.
Zeke? There you go.
That's Lucius. The only guy who's going to listen to it at this point.
That's a good point.
It would have been Zeke.
You did it right.
And maybe if Lyle Collins was still around, he would have been the other guy, don't you think?
He gone?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It gets to be a lonely life as the quarterback, you know.
Romo learned that.
You think it'd be CD?
Yeah. But before too long, it's you and a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Just you.
Might be one other geezer they keep on the team with you.
I don't think Zeke would talk him out of it. I think Zeke would be up for the party.
Yeah, he would. Wait a second. What? Best man? Let's do this.
Bachelor party? Let's go.
Yeah. Tad will be the best man there.
Let's go on the fishing boat.
Takes a special kind of friend to have that level of...
It does.
Friendom?
Yeah.
And accountability. And the right person.
He's seen Dak at his absolute worst, though, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they both have.
Dak's a go out the back door guy, and Zeke's a go out the front door guy.
Yeah.
Zeke's a throw a guy out the front door guy.
Kind of when you get in trouble, go out the back door.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I like the clarification.
Yeah.
Big dub for Mizzou fans. Okay, they got an early 11 a.m. kick Central Time, starting an hour and a half before kick. Beer is going to be sold at the low price of just $3.
Where?
In Mizzou.
Oh,
they got
Columbia.
This is to try and get the fans rowdy and ready to go for an early
kickoff.
Here
you go, guys. We're only going to mark this up 250% for the final 90 minutes before kickoff.
I mean, honestly, compared to what they usually sell it for, which is like $8.
Roll some kegs out, okay? Let's get this done.
Yeah, why don't you just give away dollar beer or something if you really want to get it rowdy.
Sponsor it.
Yeah, well, exactly. There we go.
We can't do that, can we?
No, probably not.
Probably not, because it's
a liability. Some kid falls out of the second deck.
Yeah. So they're trying to get people there in Mizzou pretty lubricated, ready to go for their early kick. And I think a big dub's in store for Bevo.
Wait a minute. Like 11 a.m., just completely hammered?
Oh, yeah. Mostly on camping trips.
I did that in Lubbock when I went.
But sometimes at football games.
I've done that for NASCAR, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like getting up and start drinking at 6 and having some Dawson's powdered donuts along with it.
I mean, I was feeling good before Texas OU when I went a few years ago. And then
were you drunk at the game?
I was, but by the time halfway through the first quarter. I'd sweat the whole thing out.
How could you be drunk at that game as much walking as you have to do?
Because you walk and drink a beer. You walk and you drink a beer. And you walk and then you drink another beer. And then you walk into the stadium.
Then you take a leak.
Yeah, at the 1928 urinals.
Yeah, you could sober up on your way waiting for the urinal. That's also true there, Brian. There is a ridiculous mass of humanity there. Big dub for
Never again.
Bevo. Yeah, I know you're not going back.
Never again.
Bevo scared Uga so bad during their encounter at the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago. Uga's not traveling this time. He's not going to go to Austin tomorrow for the game. Dog hasn't been on a plane, hasn't been on a bus. He's really young and immature, and they've got a new two-year-old bulldog. They're like, we don't want to deal with this one. And Bevo scared the crap out of our last one, so they're going to keep Uga at home.
Hey, Lucius.
Yo!
You're like a rancher type guy.
I mean, you know.
Okay, Bevo, you know what? The cattle naturally jump over, if they see like a little strip, jump over it, thinking it's a cattle guard. Because every time I've seen Bevo come on the field,
if he's trained that way,
he jumps over the little strip. I was wondering if it's a natural for cattle.
If he's trained that way,
because I've seen
like a
cattle
horse breaking a horse, just if you train that way.
I've seen clips of cattle jump over little strips when it's not really a cattle guard.
Yeah,
but they just naturally. I didn't know if that was something. But Bevo always kind of does this little hop over like the where the drainage is at the field. He kind of does this little whoop jump over. Thing.
All that beef.
And I was just kind of thinking, maybe did they train him to do that, or just cattle naturally jump over little strips of they think that might be cattle guard? I don't know.
I like your theory, Brian. I think it's a cattle guard hop.
Yeah. Cattle guard, because you watch him, he'll come on the field. He'll hop. Bevo. He'll hop onto the field.
That's a well behaved.
It is a nice jump cut, showing off his athleticism for the scouts, maybe.
I mean, that's not
There's no way in hell I could hold on to that thing.
What, Bevo?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
That
you need
Ralphie
help.
At Colorado.
With your bad shoulder? Heck no.
Oh, that buffalo?
Ralphie would drag me.
That buffalo
me.
Is crazy.
Would, I would be running, blow a hamstring, then fall into the turf, right shoulder on fire.
Now, that'd be a fun mascot, bro.
You'd be looking like Don Zimmer out there.
Like Chiefs talking about, Broadus, get up. And I really can't get up.
No, you
can't. Kind of laying on the floor.
And you got to wear boots and jeans.
I fell and I can't get
buckle.
Up.
Yeah. Starch shirt, and you got to just sprint with a buffalo behind your back.
Yeah. There's no way. I've fallen. The first 2 minutes that thing takes off, I'm falling.
Oh, man. Could you have pulled that off at 20?
No.
Wow.
There was never an athletic prime.
No, I was horrible. All I could do was deep snap. I'd snap the ball and get crushed.
It was over.
It was all. Man, I couldn't even cover. Are you kidding me?
They didn't even protect you back in the day.
Yeah, you got mauled. That John Hand at Alabama. And no, these guys mauled you. They didn't care. Like, I had a guy one time, he was like, man, I'm coming right over. He was like cussing. I'm coming right over your ass and all that. Eric Andelsek, my guards.
Ryan, come on. This is a family show, dude.
You out of control today, bro.
I'm just saying, over the top.
You are just doing the most.
But anyway. Anyway,
what's that masterpiece of the week?
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah. Over the top.
It's football.
Yeah, Zeke is a backdoor guy.
He's a back. The front door's open,
I'm more backdoor guy myself.
What the hell's happening here?
What?
Going off the damn rails. Talking about being drunk at 11 a.m., and here's where we end up.
Just saying that,
this is crazy.
All right, carry on.
Yeah,
carry
please.
On.
Yes.
But you can't tell football stories because I can't tell football stories the right way. I have to use football. Terms.
Well, if you would have had that alone, you would have been okay with this. The other stuff prior to this, you created a folder this segment, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, talk about HR, Brian. Yeah. Biggest L, girlfriend and I broke up about a month ago from the 469. Biggest dub, we talked it out and are serious about working through our issues.
That's not okay.
That sounds like a double L. 972, Biggest L, must be that Ravens fan who recorded himself punching out Washington fans and said he never loses, lost his job the next day, and now there's a warrant for his arrest. Absolutely, that's a big L. Also, big L for Jay Cutler today. He faces DUI and weapons charges.
You think he had a cigarette in his mouth and they pulled him over?
Yeah, he was arrested after a traffic crash, and now he's facing four different charges. Driving under the influence, possession of a handgun while under the influence, failure to exercise due care to avoid a collision, and implied consent. So a rough morning there.
So he crashed into a crash?
He crashed. He was
crashed out, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's a big time crash out.
Hopefully, it all's going to end well, that goes well, or however you say that. But when you're drinking,
well, ends well.
How do you say that?
When you're drinking, all your firearm protection laws go right out the window.
Well, they found another firearm once they searched the vehicle, so there were two.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Oh, wow.
Okay, NFL News of the Day coming up next. Well, Chuck, what else do you have in store for us?
Yeah, how easy is it to defend this Cowboys defense? Sad stats and potential trades. That's next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.